award faster than lightning. That prospect scares the shit out of me. I subtly pull my hand from Dad and plaster on a smile. It's nothing, just a little burn. You need to be careful in the kitchen. That's the first rule of cooking. I know. Sorry. Dad pats my shoulder affectionately and goes back to chopping carrots. Not before he offers me his golden smile, the one Lan and I inherited, though he's a much blonder, more muscular version of us. Mum said he was the most popular guy in school and garnered more attention than he should have. And I can see it. Not only does he drip with the superior king jeans, as Grandpa Jonathan likes to call them, but he's also level-headed and charismatic to a fault. A select few prefer to do business with him instead of Uncle Aiden, because he's much more amiable. Uncle is, well, let's say his motto is his way or the highway. Eli and Lan definitely take after him in that department. While many have flocked to Uncle Aiden, Dad is the actual gem with his intense yet caring personality. His outward ruthlessness yet inner warmth. His firm demands and bear hugs. Dad has always been the ultimate role model and the type of man I've strived to be. Responsible, reliable, in control. Too bad I'm too messed up in the head to ever be able to achieve that. I thought with time, everything would get better. But the ink has been festering inside me and painting every beautiful color and memory in black. And the thought of everyone seeing me at the end of that process makes me nauseous. I'd rather bleed to death than let anyone see me like that. Bran? I blink at my dad, that last thought still coiling my stomach as I smile. Yeah. Shouldn't you be adding the spices now? Oh, right. I focus on that and methodically sprinkle precise amounts of each one into the pot. But even this activity that I used to take immense pleasure in only causes me pain now. I can't stop thinking about the times I was cooking in the penthouse and Nikolai was being clingy, and while I called him annoying, I actually loved having him around. I loved the fact that he couldn't stay away from me, not even for a minute. He made it his mission to touch me all the time, as if I were the magnet to his steel. Then everything came to an end. You sure it's okay to be away from school all this time? Dad asks, amidst the sound of chopping. It's been a week since you came home. Yeah, I told my supervising professor I'd be working on my graduation piece from here. I smile and joke. Bored of me already? Nonsense. I'd rather you move back in. You know that. Have kids, they said. They'll keep you company, they said. And here I am trying not to haul the three of you back home. You and Uncle Aiden left Grandpa too. That's different. Your grandpa is a bloody dictator and a ruthless autocrat. He couldn't wait for us to sod off so he could crack on with his plan to conquer the world. The same grandpa who worships at Nan's feet and treats Glynn like a spoiled princess. That one, yes. Your Nan tamed him. But before her, he was an insufferable prick and was often cross with us. We clashed all the damn time. He shakes his head with apparent nostalgia and extends his hand. I pass him the bowl of potatoes before he even asks for it. We're in sync like that, Dad and I. Really? But you guys have a good relationship now. That's the thing about relationships. They take work and time. Besides, admittedly, I was a little wanker as a teenager. I might have burned down his mansion and caused enough problems in school to make him a permanent visitor. My hand pauses on stirring the broth. No way. Let's say I was wild. I can't believe that. You, wild. Intense, yes. But wild? Wilder than an untamed black horse. No one could restrict me, not even your grandfather. Wow, it's hard to imagine you doing all that. Who do you think your brother gets his behavioral issues from? Oh, I continue stirring, breathing in the smell of aromatic basil and oregano. Oh, is that why you were strict with him at one point? It was like watching myself and seeing the image from Uncle's point of view. Not a pleasant feeling. He clutches my shoulders. But I have you, so I can't complain. He pushes past me to the cupboard, and I remain frozen in place, the thoughts from earlier rushing to the surface like a hungry shark. Will you be ready to serve in 20? He asks, while fetching a salad bowl. Yeah, I think I can make it.
Make what?
Mum calls before I'm attacked from behind by a hug. She's much shorter than me, and I have to bend so she can kiss me on the cheek. Mum's hair is gathered in a messy bun, and some paint smudges her shirt sleeves. Unfortunately, I came at a time when she's battling a deadline, so I haven't seen much of her, and she keeps apologizing for that. But I get it. I'm also supposed to be working on something. The key word being supposed to. The thought of painting those mindless nature scenes bores me to fucking death.
Something smells divine.
She tries to sneak past Dad, but he wraps his arms around her waist and kisses her, then pushes her in the direction of the dining room. Go relax. We'll serve in a bit.
I love it when my boys spoil me.
She strokes his hair and fixes his collar. While I continue staring, I can't help watching them. I grew up surrounded by their passionate, unconditional love, and that's one of the reasons that hope was kept alive inside me, as futile as it is. Dad, the oven, I say, and he finally releases her.
By the way, Grace will be joining us for dinner. Can you count her in?
She stops beside me, grinning contagiously.
This is a good opportunity for you, baby. She's really considering signing you. Isn't that wonderful?
I already found an agent, Mum.
Oh, who?
Maxine Saul.
Landon's agent? She's high on sculpting and wouldn't get you. Besides, Grace is a household name and much more well-known and respected. She'll get your work out there in no time. I was so lucky when she took me on.
I don't think she appreciates my style.
She said she does. Come on, Bran. Just listen to what she has to say. If you don't like it and still prefer to go with Maxine, I'll respect your choice.
I nod and she hugs me again before disappearing to the dining room. You don't have to agree to anything. Your mum wants you to sign with a celebrity agent because she worries about your future, especially since you've been refusing to take part in exhibitions, unlike Lan. But if you want to tell us anything, we're all ears. Maybe you don't want to continue with art. Maybe you prefer to go a different path. Whatever it is, we're here. The tension disappears from my shoulders as I nod with a smile. Why does he always say the right words to make me relax? When the four of us sit down for dinner, however, that tension returns in waves. I try to swallow past the lump in my throat as they talk about Mum's upcoming exhibition and how they're expecting brilliant results. Everyone can't wait for it.
You'll be there, right, Bran?
Grace asks me with her posh, slightly snobbish upper-class accent. Grace Bruckner is indeed a household name. She has three artists under her wing, all of whom are world-renowned and have bagged multiple awards. She's about Mum's age, but couldn't be any more different. She dresses in red most of the time. Even now, she has on a red camisole, heels, earrings, and lipstick. The only different color is her black pencil skirt. Her platinum blonde hair falls to her shoulders in a perfect bob, and she often wears a fake smile, probably because of the Botox. Sure, anything for Mum. I smile, and my mother gives me heart eyes.
Lan too?
Grace pushes. You'll have to ask him. He's been quite busy lately.
Apparently, he has a girlfriend who's keeping him in line.
Mum's words drip with glee, like when I first told her about Mia and how she's possibly taming her wild child. In line, Dad scoffs. I'll believe it when I see it. You have my word, Dad. I've never seen him dedicated to anyone like he is to her. He even asked me for lessons in empathy. That seems serious. Dead serious.
How charming.
Grace takes a sip of her wine.
What about you, Bran? Any girlfriend?
Pain rips through me at that, and I choose to remain silent as I stuff my face full of food.
No one?
She insists.
Forget it, Grace. Bran likes to keep his relationships to himself. Maybe one day we'll get to meet your special someone, hun.
Fat chance.
So, Bran.
Grace leans forward in her seat.
I'm sure Astrid told you, but I'm officially considering signing you. Can you make time for us to discuss this further? Preferably in the studio, where I can see your recent work.
How about Glynn? She continues sipping her rosé wine.
Glynn is still too young, and is in the process of developing her style. I'll wait a few years before I move on to her. Let's focus on you now. Isn't that exciting?
Mum grins at me.
We can do exhibitions together in the future. That's an excellent idea.
Grace agrees.
In fact, depending on what I see, I think we might be able to slip a painting or two into your upcoming exhibition. Oh my God, you can do that. It's not an easy feat, but I can make it happen for you both. Bran, what do you think?
She smiles so big it makes me sick to my stomach.
Lev, hun, we need to open a bottle of champagne.
He gauges my expression. Are you ready to take this step, son? I need to think about it. I dab my lips with the napkin and stand up on slightly unsteady feet. I have to work on an assignment. Please enjoy the rest of your dinner. I walk out of the dining room with a calm I don't feel. Instead of going to the studio, I take the stairs and head to my room. As soon as I'm inside, I fall on the bed head first and wish I could suffocate myself with the fucking pillow. Black ink creeps over me, pushing weight on my back until I'm panting for air. I reach underneath the pillow and snatch my Swiss Army knife, then yank away my watch and hold the blade against my wrist. One cut, a small one. I just need to breathe. I want to fucking breathe. My phone vibrates and I startle. When I see the name lighting the screen, I let the knife fall to the mattress. Nikolai. The more the phone vibrates, the harder I breathe, scrabbling, fighting for air that doesn't exist. My trembling finger hovers over the screen like every time he calls, but like always, I don't answer. One missed call appears on the screen. Then, as usual, a text follows.
Nikolai, answer the fucking phone.
I open his texts and flip onto my back to read them, inhaling deeply, holding it in my churning stomach, then puffing out the air in a long, shaky exhale. Little by little, I can feel the ink retreating to the shadows, even if its invisible hands are still strangling my cursed wrist. I scroll up, reading all the texts he's sent since I left the island after I made sure Lan's wrist was safe. At that time, I needed to get away from it all, and figured being with my parents was the perfect solution. I'm not so sure anymore. It hurts everywhere, whether I'm on the island or here. Still, I can't help rereading his texts. They've gone from raging to pleading to raging again. He calls me 20 times a day like a damn stalker. A couple of days ago, he stopped the texts and calls altogether, so I thought he'd given up. But he called me just now. What does that mean? Am I supposed to feel hopeful because of it? I exit the texts and open Instagram, then go to his profile like a junkie. He hasn't posted anything for a long time, but I scroll through the old pictures, as if I don't have every single one saved on my phone in a special folder. A knock startles me before Mum's voice filters through.
Bran, hun, you awake?
I throw the knife under the pillow and sit up in bed to put on my watch, then clear my throat. Yeah, come in. My fingers tighten around the phone, keeping it against my chest like makeshift armor as the door opens. Mom and Dad walk in with handfuls of snacks, popcorn, and beer. Film night. Don't think you're escaping. I smile and slide my phone into my pocket. Shouldn't we go to the home cinema for that? They abandon the contents of their arms on my desk and sit on either side of me.
Before we do that, I wanted to have a little chat first.
Okay.
I wanted to apologize, honey. I was reflecting on my words and realized that in my attempts to get you the best deal possible, I've been pushing you, and I think that made you uncomfortable. If you prefer Maxine over Grace, go for it. I'll stand behind you every step of the way.
Really?
Of course, Bran. You can tell me these things head on. You know that, right?
I nod.
Do you forgive me?
There's nothing to forgive, Mum. Anyone in your position would think it's an honor to be represented by Grace. But I'm not at your level yet. I don't want that pressure.
I understand. One step at a time, right?
My smile is much more genuine this time. It wasn't so hard to express yourself, was it, son? Dad asks, throwing a comforting arm on my shoulder.
We're your parents, not your guardians or people you need to be wary around.
Mum takes my hand in her smaller ones.
You don't have to think about it when you talk to us. You can tell us what's on your mind freely.
My breathing comes easier with every inhale and exhale as I summon all the courage I have and say, Mum, Dad, I want to tell you something.
Anything,
she says. And Dad gives an encouraging nod. So, the thing is, this is a lot more difficult to speak aloud than I thought. Take your time. Dad strokes my back. Whatever it is, you're not alone, Bran. Thanks, Dad. I clear my throat. Remember when a long time ago I asked you, why am I not normal? When you were 14. Yeah. You asked me in what department did I not feel normal, and I just shrugged and hoped you'd let it go. That thought came to me when I saw Lan and everyone else shagging their way through school. Lan first had sex at 13. I didn't even consider it at that time.
Oh my word!
Mum gasps. Ugh, you weren't supposed to know that. I grimace. Anyway, he told me all about it, said I'd get around to it myself, and gave me a lot of pointers. I was more bemused than interested. I didn't like the concept of sex. I didn't find it appealing in any shape or form. I thought I was a late bloomer, and Lan agreed, which made sense. But even at 15, 16, 17, or beyond, I didn't like the idea. I didn't want to have it and didn't find anyone attractive. But, Dad pauses, seeming to measure his words. You had girlfriends. Yeah, I did have sex. I didn't like it, but I did it anyway to blend in.
Oh, honey.
Mum watches me with a wretched expression.
Why didn't you talk to us? We could have...
No, the idea of being different haunted the hell out of me. I couldn't just admit it out loud, even to you guys. I didn't want to be seen as a freak. Not wanting to have sex does not make you a freak, Bran. Everyone is different, and that's the beauty of it. Just because you don't have the sexual drive doesn't make you any less of who you are. I'm starting to learn that now. I wish it was easy to express one's different sexuality without being judged for it.
We would never judge you, hon.
You wouldn't, but society would, Mum. Society would compare me to my sex god twin brother and label me as the defective one. They already think that in the art circuit anyway. I didn't want to add my sexuality to it. Society can go fuck itself. What's important is you. As long as you're comfortable in your own skin, everyone else can fuck off. If they say anything, I'll drag them through enough courts to make them wish they'd never crossed your path. I smile a little. Thanks, Dad.
Did something change?
Mum asks in a hopeful tone. What makes you think that?
You often look at your phone and have a longing expression on your face.
I do. Both of them nod and I wince. I didn't realize I was that obvious. Did you find someone who understands you? Dad asks. Will you be too shocked if I say it's a man? Mum's lips break into a grin.
I knew it.
Me too. What? I stare between them as if they're aliens. How? Why? When? I didn't even know it myself.
Well, hun, you had your first crush on a guy.
What?
My stepbrother, Jaden.
Jay?
You called him a prince and said, Mum, he's so pretty when you first met him. You were, what, 5 at the time? Lan was having fun watching girls fight over him, but you were all over Jay. That didn't last long, and you eventually became friends. But I definitely saw the attraction in your little eyes.
Right. I do remember thinking he was really pretty. But then puberty came and I never thought of him in that sense. I never thought of anyone in that sense. With one damning exception.
Afterward, you were more into girls, so I thought maybe you were bi, but I didn't want to broach the subject until you told me yourself. I'm happy you felt comfortable enough to tell us.
I smile at her, feeling a bit daft for being so stupidly worried about this. Then I tilt my head in the direction of my father, who's been awfully quiet. His face is unreadable as he seems to be fighting his demons. Dad, are you okay with it? Your sexuality? Naturally. This guy, however, I'm not sure yet. What's his name? Age? Parents' names? So, remember Killian? His lips part. Please don't tell me you're with your sister's boyfriend. Ex-boyfriend. What? No, of course not, Dad.
Ooh, Levi.
Mum smacks his hand. Fine, okay. He releases a breath. It can't be worse than that. He's his cousin. Oh, for fuck's sake! Dad's face literally pales, and I kind of feel bad for him. He's been dealing with Lan his whole life. Then he had Kill, who's also a diagnosed psychopath. I don't think he's even processed that. Please tell me he's the level-headed cousin who keeps him in check. To be honest, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Killian is definitely the one who keeps Nikolai in check. Fuck my life. Oh, Astrid, princess, I think I'm having a heart attack. Dad, are you okay? I study him closely. I'm actually not with him right now, so you don't have to worry.
Oh, screw that.
Mum shakes him again.
Your dad just needs to stop being a baby.
Coincidentally, Dad's expression returns to normal. You're not together, you said?
Levi!
Mum scolds. What? I can't have this bunch of psychos corrupting my children. I'm sure you'll find someone better, son. A sad smile curves my lips. I don't think so, Dad.
What happened?
Something concerning Mia.
Lan's girlfriend?
Yeah. She's also Nikolai's younger sister, and he really, and I mean really, hates Lan's guts. Mostly because, well, my dear brother caused him and his friends a lot of trouble. Mum sighs with resignation.
Lan, oh Lan.
So did Lan beat him up? Dad asks with a note of anticipation.
Levi!
Mum scolds again. I approve of Lan protecting his siblings.
Way to set an example for your children, hun.
Did he? He asks me. It was the other way around, and I'm mad at Nikolai for that.
Well, didn't Lan beat up Kill once?
That's my boy. Dad nods in approval and Mum rolls her eyes. Still, he shouldn't have done it. I begged him not to and he didn't seem to care. Anyway, I'm going to be fine. It's okay if you aren't. Dad slaps me affectionately on the back. Mum hugs me and kisses the top of my head. A smell and warmth engulf me as she whispers,
I'm proud of you, hon. I love you just the way you are.
I wrap my arm around her even as I think, I wish you didn't. Now that this admission is out in the open, I know it's only a matter of time before the rest bulldozes through my weakened defenses. And when that happens, I doubt I'll be able to hug her again. The following morning, after I come back from my run, I shower and go to the kitchen to prepare breakfast for my parents. It's the least I can do after the love and understanding they showered me with last night. They're the reason I've been hanging on to that thread of hope for years. If they weren't in my life, I don't even want to think about it. Even though Mum is on a deadline, we sure as hell went to the home cinema and watched my favorite Poirot episode, The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. Dad dozed off halfway through, and Mum talked me into painting his face, something we always used to do whenever he fell asleep around us, the four of us. Dad had no chance of winning with four chaotic artists in the family. Though only Glynn takes after Mum in being a chaotic creative, Lan and I are too consumed with perfection, too methodical, too focused. I'd actually never thought about that. Lan is a sculptor and I'm a painter, but we share the same creative energy. Yes, we've always had similar traits, no matter how much I've tried to ignore it. Anyway, breakfast. Dad will be up soon and Mum spent an all-nighter in the studio. I know how important this exhibition is for her. She's been working for 2 years on her next big thing, and I want to be there for her every step of the way. I will not, under any circumstances, distract her, which means I should probably go back to uni soon. I puff out a breath of air, dread, and another queasy feeling enveloping me at the thought of what waits for me on the island. Our butler, Nolan, walks inside, all dressed in his impeccable suit and the slightly crooked bow tie. I've got this, Nolan. Thanks. I tell him as I fetch eggs from the fridge. Sir, that's not it. Then what is it? You have a peculiar visitor. This early? I lift my head, and I can hear the sound of my shattering heart as my eyes meet those deep blue ones. Nikolai is in my parents' house.
31. Nikolai. The past week has been a red mist. No, black would be a more accurate fucking description. With everything that imploded back home, I had to go to the States and assess the fuckery for myself. As if everything wasn't already fucked up, I also had to clash with none other than Landon, also known as the reason behind every fucked up emotion I've been experiencing over the past couple of weeks. The reason why Bran has been completely ignoring me. Let's just say Brandon said I shouldn't mention anything about his impromptu visit to my parents. I still hate the fucking guy, and I'd rather see him burn at the stake than be with my sister. But I don't really have a choice after he saved her from certain death. Motherfucking fucker even managed to stop raising Dad's hackles. My dad. As in the man who brought me up to be the twin second watchdog after himself. A lot of fuckery happened, including many familial conversations and disturbing revelations. Through it all, I couldn't be fully present, not when I'd left my fucking heart on the island. I returned as soon as I could, but it turned out Bran wasn't there all along. I had to get information about his whereabouts through Kill and Jer because Glynn and Cecily were mad at me, probably because of the part I played in the beating up of Landon. Let the record show that I'd do it again in a heartbeat, though maybe I wouldn't threaten his precious fucking wrist, just damage his face so he no longer resembles the most beautiful man on earth. Said man looks at me as if I'm a barbarian walking into his empire with primitive weapons and the intention of burning down his forts. He's not mistaken. I have to exercise self-control I don't actually have to not jump him and bruise those parted lips, tug them between my teeth, and devour them with my tongue. We have company. Chill, Kolya. Just fucking chill. This behavior wouldn't work in your favor. Brand straightens to his full height, his surprised expression slowly fading as he wears his control like armor. My gaze greedily takes in the cold lines of his face, the muted blue of his eyes, the slight tick in his sharp jawline, and the unfortunate absence of my mark on his unblemished neck. A few chaotic brown strands fall on his forehead, half damp as if he'd just walked out of the shower. If I inhale deep enough, I can breathe the citrus and clover into my starved lungs. My attention falls on his white polo t-shirt and how it stretches over his planes of muscles. It rides up as he slowly shuts the fridge, revealing his smooth abs and that delicious V-line that unfortunately disappears beneath his dark blue pants. He smiles at the man standing beside me, who looked at me like I'm a vicious stray dog trying to bite his master. If I wasn't trying to get brownie points with Bran, I would have punched him in his standoffish face. Violence doesn't work with Bran. Violence does not work. If I keep repeating that, maybe I'll forget about my fists enough to not start a fight.
I'll take it from here.
He speaks in a collected voice that destroys any of my feeble attempts to remain civil. How dare he be so unaffected when I've barely been able to breathe properly since he's been gone? I crunched more pills than I have in my entire life just to bring myself down from the high, so that I could see him without being weirded out about the fact that I could hurt him. Even Mom, whose team pills was worried shitless about the very possibility that I'd overdose on the fuckers and hid them away from me.
Are you sure?
Fucker Nolan gives me a judgmental once-over, although I'm fully fucking dressed, even wore a damn leather jacket over my t-shirt to hide the tattoos. He pales at my glare that must say, I'll fuck up your face right here and now, then focuses back on Bran.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nolan gives him another uncertain look before he nods and walks away without a sound, like a fucking creep.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Bran snaps, and although his voice is firm and low, I revel at watching the cracks in his control. That's it. Break from me, baby. What does it look like I'm doing? I stride toward him, unable to resist his gravitational presence. I came to see you since you didn't bother to answer my texts or calls.
That was answer enough. I had no desire or intention of getting in contact with you. As I previously told you, we are done.
As I previously told you, in your fucking dreams. My voice lowers as I stand toe-to-toe with him, caging him against the counter. His heat penetrates my skin and melts away the ice that's been enveloping me since he's been out of my sight. God damn, I missed his comforting heat and that look in his eyes. Maybe the reason I've been on that high longer than usual is because I didn't have him. He has a way of grounding me, pulling me down when I go up. Since he came into my life, I haven't gone on self-destructive sprees, except the last few weeks. In the past, I couldn't care less about whether or not I survived the violence and the mayhem. Now is different. Now, the thought of being without him terrifies me. Death terrifies me because it would take me away from him. I'm never leaving him again, not even if I have to inhale pills and turn into the zombie I despise for it. Bran crosses his arms over his chest, not giving an inch as his features freeze into cold indifference, but I don't miss the clench in his jaw.
Can't take no for an answer. Pathetic.
Then I'm pathetic. Who fucking cares? Oh, wait, you do. He releases cruel laughter that's so uncharacteristic of him. He's an asshole, but never mocking, condescending, but not evil.
If you think I ever cared about you, then you're sorely mistaken. It was just physical, remember? Like how you fucked me against the tree and left without a look back, then proceeded to threaten my brother's whole future because of your nonsensical pride.
My molars grind together and I have to bite my tongue to keep from shouting that he's mine and he needs to deal with it. But how dare he? How fucking dare he say it was just physical? He and I were never just physical. Not the first time I kissed him, or the last time I fucked him, or any time in between, and he knows that. He better well fucking know that, and just be trying to summon the asshole energy in himself. Your brother's wrist is just fine, I grit out. Now that gets him pissed. And I mean fucking shaking pissed. Red blotches cover his pale skin, and his eyes turn a shade darker, nearly shooting laser beams at my face. That's it, baby. Show me the side no one else sees. He uncrosses his arms and jams his index finger against my chest. And is it wrong that I'm loving his touch, even if he's nearly boiling over with rage?
That's not the fucking point.
Then what is?
The fact that you kidnapped him and beat him up in the first place.
He had it coming when he messed with my fucking sister.
You were messing with his fucking brother!
I never forced you.
And you think he forced her? If you weren't so up your own ass, you would have seen the way she looks at him. She loves him, Nikolai. She's in love with him. And you might not want to believe this, but he loves her too, in his own fucked up way.
I bite my tongue again, this time due to the images I came back with from the States. A part of me refuses to subscribe to the very foundation of that idea, but he's right, annoyingly so. Okay. His finger falls from my chest as the anger melts at the edges, replaced by bemusement.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I was home, and Landon was also there trying to woo my parents. By the grimace on his face, he knows very well that the scenario I just described is a recipe for disaster. That's the difference between Landon and Bran. The psycho just pushes through everything and hopes for the best. My lotus flower is much more calculated and gets off on control. He'd never make a decision before he mulls it over. I can't believe I'm thinking this, but I really wish he was a bit like his brothers sometimes. Not his character, fucking revolting. But the way he lets himself loose.
What did he do? Did you get into a fight again?
No.
You mean to tell me you were in the same room with Lan and didn't punch him?
I would have loved to.
Then why didn't you? I'm pretty sure your punch first, think later mentality wasn't the reason you restrained yourself.
No, it wasn't. But I knew if I hurt him again, I'd lose you. And that's not a fucking option. His lips part and I want to bite the bottom one beneath my teeth and feast on him, swallow him whole and fuck this morbid tension out of the both of us. But then he opens his stupid fucking mouth.
Too bad. You already lost me.
I plant my palms on the counter on either side of him and lean into his face until he has no choice but to step back or let me kiss him. He goes for the former, but that leaves him trapped between me and the counter. Want to test that, baby? I invade his space until my lips are mere inches away from his.
Back off.
He orders in that bossy tone that gets my dick all twitchy. Not in this lifetime. He jacks his forearm against my throat, nearly crushing my windpipe, as his eyes shine with dangerous anger and uncontainable lust.
Don't even think about touching me.
You're the one who's doing that. Can't keep your hands off me, baby.
I'm pushing you away.
Still counts. I miss the feel of your skin on mine.
You're fucking crazy.
About you. Always.
Nikolai.
Yes, baby. He expels a long breath and I inhale it deep into my lungs. Herbal tea and honey. Of course he'll have tea first thing in the morning. My Prince Charming.
Listen, you bloody twat.
His voice is deep and firm, oozing command.
You don't get to ignore me. Pretend I don't exist. then proceed to hurt my brother after I basically begged you not to, and waltz back into my life as if nothing happened.
I'm not pretending it didn't. I'm just saying I'm in your life despite everything that happened. And I didn't ignore you because I wanted to. I was on my high, and things would have turned ugly if I came close, especially with the shit with Landon. I punched you, Bran.
You didn't mean to.
I still don't like it. I hate the very idea of hurting you, even unintentionally. I was haunted for weeks by the sight of the blood that gushed out of your nose. I'm so sorry. I'll never let myself do that again. That night in front of the Elite's mansion was enough proof that I had no control and was capable of hurting you. Also, I could never pretend you don't exist, motherfucker. You're everywhere, like goddamn air. His grip loosens a little, giving me more room to breathe.
You could have told me.
Like you so readily told me about the cuts? A line appears between his brows, and he breathes harsher, his chest rising and falling with difficulty. But he has no reply because even his hypocritical analogy doesn't make sense. Now you listen to me, motherfucker. I wrap a hand around his throat. You don't get to hide from me and demand to know me. You don't get to bury yourself 6 feet deep and think you can still read me like a book. If I'm splitting myself open for you and allowing you to see parts of me no one else is privy to, you need to do the same. You owe me that fucking much. His lips are set in a line and I expect him to refuse or flash me his surprisingly devastating anger, but he releases a sigh.
Are you really going to let go of the Landon thing?
I should have listened to you and exchanged you for Mia. You can say I told you so.
No, Nikolai. I don't derive pleasure from seeing you hurt or conflicted. I know how much you love your sister, but it's hypocritical to want Lan away from her while insisting on having me. Lan is my twin brother, and he will always be a massive part of my life. You can't, under any circumstances, make me choose. I need you to understand that.
I get it. I'm sorry. His expression softens.
Apology accepted. You'll try not to punch him next time you see him?
Yeah. Not sure he'll do the same, though.
What did you do now?
Me? He's the one who threatened me in my own fucking house. He said, and I quote, "I've seen the way you look at my brother, you uncultured swine, and I'm telling you right now that if you come near him, I'll break your fucking legs." Bran's face pales.
He knows.
I didn't say anything. I promise. He shakes his head, a pained expression crossing his features.
You didn't have to.
You hate that?
I wouldn't say I hate it. I'm just trying to figure out why he hasn't said anything to me. Is he also waiting?
Waiting for what?
It's nothing.
Brandon, I grit out and he looks at me with disappointment? Pain?
What?
He asks in a hurt tone. I hate the word nothing. It's at the top of my shit list with fine and sorry.
Well, I hate it when you call me by my full name, too.
Fuck me. His lower lip pushes slightly forward in a little pout, and I can't help the feeling of complete adoration that floods me. He's so goddamn cute for an asshole. Won't happen again, baby. I cup his nape and crash my lips to his. Bran gasps, and I swallow the sound the fuck up. My tongue pushes past his teeth, only to be met by his eager one. A growl spills from me as he clenches his fingers in my hair and switches us around so that my back hits the counter and he's the one crowding me, breathing the intense, angry passion through me. Our mouths war as I flip him again, forcing him to gobble down the taste of my aggression that only he can tame. God, fucking damn it, I missed him. I want the madness, the pressure, the war. I want all of him. In me, bleeding inside me, breaking apart for me.
Don't ever do that again.
He pants against my lips, his fingers pulling on my hair until it's painful.
Don't you fucking dare walk away from me or ghost me. I don't give a fuck if you're on a high or a murder spree. I couldn't care less if you hurt me. You don't come to me when you're only okay. You come to me at all times. Am I fucking understood?
I lick his bottom lip, then bite down. You don't hide from me either. I want you raw. Am I fucking clear? His hot breath whooshes out in harsh pants against my mouth.
What if you don't like what you see?
Not sure if you noticed it, but I like everything about you. Your control freak tendencies and nagging included. I'm about to seal that with another kiss when I register commotion behind me. While I don't usually stop when there's an audience, this isn't just anyone, it's my Bran. It takes me a godly amount of effort to release him and step back. Bran looks at me with unconcealed disappointment as he's forced to let me go. I quickly wipe his mouth with the sleeve of my jacket, but I'm afraid nothing can hide his swollen lips. Or mine. Christ. I'm thinking of the best way to deal with that, but it's too late. Bran's eyes grow in size as an older male voice booms in the air.
Morning, princess.
More like night.
A feminine voice says, followed by a yawn. I turn around so that I'm standing beside Bran as I watch an older version of him with blonde hair, wrapping an arm around the waist of a smaller woman who creepily resembles Glynn. He smiles at her as they walk to the kitchen.
Son, are you up?
His voice is cut off when he lifts his head and notices me standing beside his son. When I took the first flight from the States, I hadn't had much sleep. My only thought was to get Bran back, so don't expect me to have had the foresight to realize I'd actually see his parents, and judging by his father's hardening features, I would say it's not going well. An idea pops into my head, and I'm actually goddamn proud of how quick-witted I am. Hi, good morning, I say with my most welcoming smile that I only show my parents. I'm Bran's friend from school. His mom smiles.
Are you, by any chance, Nikolai?
I steal a glance at Bran. Did he mention me? Jesus Christ, am I supposed to be this happy that he said my name in front of his parents? And why is he not freaking out like whenever we're in the same public place? If anything, his expression is peaceful. This is starting to creep me the fuck out. So imagine my fucking surprise when he threads his fingers through mine and smiles at his parents.
Yeah, Mom. This is Nikolai. And he's more than just a friend. 32. Levi. He can't possibly be worse than Killian. Anyone is better than Killian. It was an exaggeration on Bran's part to emotionally prepare me. Again, no one can be worse than Killian. Those were the thoughts I had before I went to bed last night, and I woke up today in a proper fantastic mood. Until now. Or, more accurately, since I walked into the kitchen and saw the motherfucking gangster who's built like a fucking wall standing beside my son. I knew it was the little fucker Nikolai before Bran even introduced him. It doesn't take a genius to figure it out when Bran's lips were all swollen and the bastard's long hair was finger-raked. Dear fucking God, I know you're out there somewhere and I beg you, take this asshole and give my son a normal lover. Just once. I want fucking normal. First, I get a psycho son. Okay, fine. Love that. Best challenge of my life, and pretty sure I passed it. I didn't need to have my daughter with a psycho boyfriend. And now, it's the psycho's psycho fucking cousin. What the fuck have I done to deserve that? Was I a mass murderer in a past life or something?
Levi!
My wife pulls on my shirt sleeve from her position on the table beside me.
You're staring.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to be fucking glaring. I say loud enough for everyone to hear. We're sitting around the dining table for breakfast. We had to order takeout from the local bakery because I'm not in the right headspace to cook anything. And it's all because of the fucking wanker on my left, right beside my son. I narrow my eyes at the full sleeves of tattoos decorating both his arms. Motherfucking gangster. A delinquent bastard who's in no way fit to be with my well-mannered, completely selfless son. My son who's hidden himself so as not to bother us. His own parents. His closest flesh and blood. Why would he end up with Killian's more unruly cousin? At least that waste of space is presentable. This one looks like he was chewed up in a tattoo gun, broke the fucking thing, and got spit right out. Don't get me wrong. I have tattoos and so does Lan, but we're not covered in them like damn mafiosos. Astrid clears her throat and smiles at Nikolai, who had the decency to put his fork and knife down when I spoke. Even with his hair tied back, he still gives a major creeper vibe. Just what the fuck does Bran see in him? He looks like one of those violent wankers, aka me when I was young. I know an adrenaline junkie when I see one.
So, how old are you, Nikolai?
My wife asks in a soft tone.
You look about Bran's age.
Bran swallows the mouthful of toast and grimaces. He's actually 4 years younger.
Shut the fridge! He doesn't look a day younger.
Thanks, ma'am. That's what I've been saying.
He slides his fork and knife on either side of his plate again.
Also, it's only 3.5 years. I'm going to be 20 in a couple of weeks.
Don't ma'am me. Just call me Astrid. Make yourself comfortable and treat this like your home.
I wouldn't recommend that. I cut my toast with scrambled eggs and glare at him. To give him credit, he doesn't hold my gaze or glare back like his fucker cousin. He lowers his head and says,
Once again, I'm sorry for showing up without previous notice. I thought I'd see Bran and leave.
Oh, such good manners.
My wife smiles.
And don't worry, you're welcome here anytime.
I wouldn't use the word welcome. Dad, Bran mouths pleadingly, and I resist the urge to roll my eyes. There he goes defending the little fucker. I'm losing my children one by one to a bunch of wankers.
So, where did you guys meet?
My wife asks, battling against my every attempt to scare him away. Hopefully I'll act up and Bran will realize Nikolai is not for him. Let's cross all fingers for that very happy ending. It was at a party. Nikolai smirks.
Yes, a party. I was all over him in no time.
You were what?
I mean...
His smirk disappears.
I was the one who noticed him first.
And you couldn't keep your attention to yourself?
Levi!
Astrid pinches my thigh beneath the table.
I'm afraid not, sir.
He answers with a straight face.
He was my destiny to meet your son, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
There it is. The same arrogance that courses through Killian's veins instead of blood. Bran ducks his head and smiles as he spreads an unhealthy amount of apricot jam on some toast. My heart kind of fucking bursts. I haven't seen my son smile so broadly since, well, his pre-teenage years. Puberty changed him into this overly responsible, slightly depressed man. Where Lan grew into his obnoxious, too outward self, Bran turned inward. Last night, when he told us it was because he didn't want to come off as abnormal, it made me feel like a shitty father. I often tried to make him feel as special as his brother, but that didn't matter if he himself didn't believe in that fact.
That's so sweet.
My wife, who seems already taken by the little shit Nikolai, smiles and passes him a plate of eggs Benedict. He prefers a sweet breakfast, Mum. Bran slides the jam sandwich that I thought he was making for himself in front of Nikolai, and even gives him a whole plate of macarons.
He doesn't look the part.
Don't be fooled by the muscles. He has the most tragic sweet tooth I've ever had the misfortune to witness.
Guilty as charged,
Nikolai says after he finishes the toast in two bites like a barbarian.
Honestly, I work out so I can consume as many pastries as possible.
One day you'll go into a sugar coma, Bran says with a sigh, as if he's mentioned this countless times before.
Worth it.
That's the spirit.
Astrid raises her glass of orange juice in his direction, and he clinks his against it.
So what do you study in uni, Nikolai?
Business management. I'm supposed to be taking over the family business that my parents have been leading for decades.
Oh, how exciting. You and Bran share something in common.
Really?
He asks, too eager.
What?
Heirs to a family business. Though Bran clearly expressed that he'll have nothing to do with the management side.
Eli, Lan, and Cray will do that just fine. I prefer art.
That's my boy.
She reaches across the table and pats his hand. I find it hard to believe you do well at school, I comment dryly.
I actually have a GPA of 4.15, sir. I might not look like it, but I have an awesome memory, though your other son likes to call me stupid.
I smile to myself, proud of Lan, but then Bran strokes Nikolai's arm. You're not stupid. Besides, Lan finds 99% of the human population mentally challenged, so he's the problem. Is he consoling him right now? Dear God, please blind my fucking eyes.
As long as you don't think that, I couldn't care less about Landon's opinion of me.
You guys are so sweet.
Astrid has this dreamy expression all over her face that could only be described as swooning.
We are, right?
Nikolai grins like a fucking idiot and nudges my son's shoulder.
Hear that? Even your mom thinks we're sweet.
Oh, stop it. He hisses under his breath, more out of embarrassment than annoyance. I really wish it was fucking annoyance. So what do you like about my son? I ask in my solemn tone, and that immediately puts a damper on the cheerful mood. Nikolai is the only one who doesn't get the jab or the tone, or if he does, he completely ignores it.
The right question would be what I don't like about him, which is maybe three things. Actually, I take that back. I like those things sometimes as well, so they don't count.
Is that your way of not giving me one single thing you like?
I'm happy to. How much time do you have, sir?
As much as you need.
Okay, then.
He inhales deeply and speaks in one continuous breath.
I like that he's responsible, punctual, takes all of his engagements seriously, steps up for justice, and helps in every way possible. I like his cooking, his rare smiles, and how dedicated he is to running and staying healthy. I like making him laugh, and watching him sleep. I like how he's fully concentrated when he's in the art studio. But most of all, I like how he let me into his life and made a place for me there. I even like the boring Agatha Christie movie adaptations now. Not because they're any good, but because he's truly obsessed with that shit. I mean, stuff. I even like his nagging and control freak tendencies most of the time, so yeah, there's nothing I don't like. Actually, there's something. He has this habit of putting everyone else's comfort before his own, or he pretends to be fine when he's obviously not. I don't only dislike that. I hate it.
My wife has fallen into an irreparable puddle on her chair, but she's not what's making my blood run cold. It's the look in Bran's eyes as his entire body angles in Nikolai's direction. It's awe and affection, but also fear. A fear so deep even I can see it. What is he afraid of? He doesn't look to be scared of Nikolai. More like he's scared for him. But why and from what? There's also another disturbing emotion. I recognize that look. That's how I looked when I first realized the depth of the emotions I felt for his mother. He's in love with him. It's not a crush, mere admiration, or a fling. My son is fully, truly, and irrevocably in love with the gangster. God rest my soul in fucking pieces.
By the way,
Nikolai grins at Bran.
I'm totally going to tell my dad to ask you that exact same question when you meet him. I want to hear what you have to say.
Bran smiles again and passes him a few jam-filled scones that he chomps on like a monster. After breakfast, Astrid ushers them to the living room. Mum, shouldn't you rest? You spent an all-nighter in the studio.
Nonsense. I wouldn't miss the chance to meet Nikolai for the world. I had my English breakfast tea. I'll be fine.
Ma'am?
He trails off when she glares at him.
Astrid, I'm sorry I intruded on your resting time.
At least you're aware of that, I mutter, following close behind them. My wife scolds me with those bright green eyes that could make me do anything, absolutely anything, except for handing over my precious brand to this wanker.
I can leave, if that's better.
His words come to a halt when Bran clutches his wrist and shakes his head.
Absolutely not. You're our guest.
Not one I approve of.
Levi, seriously, shouldn't you be going to work?
She hikes a hand on her hip and offers me her stern look. I'm calling in sick. I'm literally sick to my fucking stomach over the thought of yet another one of my children leaving the nest. Yes, they've been going to university for a few years now, and I should be used to this feeling. But I mostly definitely am not. Besides, a part of me thought Bran would choose to move back home and stay with us for life. Am I saying goodbye to my dream right now?
Anyway, Nikolai.
My wife says after she shakes her head at me.
Do you want to see Bran's baby photos?
Hell yeah.
He agrees readily like an eager child, then blurts.
I mean, yes, please.
Mum. Bran gives her an incredulous look.
You have no idea how long I've waited to do this.
Astrid leads Nikolai to her favorite sofa that faces the garden, then goes to the cupboard to fetch all the albums she treats like treasures. Bran falls back so that he's standing with me, a safe distance away from them. We watch as his mother sits beside Nikolai and begins with pictures from the day she found out she was pregnant with the twins. We didn't know they were twins at that time. I remember that day so well. The joy that washed over us at the thought of having our own family was so palpable, I can still taste it on my tongue. It feels like yesterday, but it isn't, because one of my first babies has his own life now, and probably won't call or text me when he needs to pick me up. As Astrid tells Nikolai the story behind every picture, he listens carefully while looking at the album on his lap with keen interest. Fucking creep. Bran steps closer to me, his expression sheepish as he rubs the back of his neck, and then speaks low, so that I'm the only one who hears him. Do you hate him that much, Dad? Oh, my. What gave you that impression? You kind of made it obvious, and, well, you're still glaring at him. I break my staring contest with Nikolai's skull. I figured if I glared hard enough, it'd crack and we'd be rid of the nuisance. I thought you said you weren't together anymore, I ask with a raised eyebrow. I thought so too. He sighs and shakes his head. It's impossible to stay away from him. Believe me, I've tried multiple times. Each time it's only got harder, not easier. And I really can't imagine my life without him in it anymore. I hurt him enough by denying my sexuality and him. He was patient and even agreed to see me in secret, although he's openly bi. I can't hurt him anymore. That would be worse than causing pain to myself. The idea of losing him scares the shit out of me, Dad. Bloody hell. I see it again. That look he had earlier. This time it's more intense as he stares at him. He's not afraid for him. He's afraid of losing him. The delinquent gangster motherfucker. I knew that bastard Killian was trouble. Not only did he shove his unwanted presence into our lives, but now